Hello and welcome to the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Michael Henson and joining me as ever is Chris Anderson to review the first night of the 2020 WWE draft on SmackDown. A lot, and I mean a lot, went on, so let's get into it. So we start with the first round of the draft. Five picks. SmackDown has two, Raw has three. The reason why this is because SmackDown is a two-hour show, Raw is a three-hour show. Chris, take it away.
Yeah, this was a good start. So it was very, very what it should be. So round one of the draft, first off the board, the right decision, that man, Drew McIntyre, stays on Raw. Roman Reigns goes second to SmackDown. Then it was interesting to see the two different styles of how they're going to draft in storyline, which was Raw's focus was we're going to keep hold of our champs. That's what we're doing. That's what we're going with. So next pick is Asuka. SmackDown, smelling blood in the water, pick up a steal with the fourth overall pick. And that is the man formerly known as the Monday Night Messiah, the man for the greater good. Seth Rollins is now on Blue for the first time in his career, I believe. He's now a SmackDown superstar. And then Raw rounded out the draft with what is realistically a very, very good pickup, just in terms of value, because you get four superstars for the price of one in the Hurt Business. Crush, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised because it's so quick, because the way Stephanie McMahon came out and did all the announcements, and she just like rattled through it, and there wasn't like sort of any superstars being shown. I know they were doing like a watch along on Twitter where the superstars appeared. I remember seeing a clip about Drew McIntyre and then Bianca Belair later in the night, but like they didn't really show a video package or do anything. They had an interview with Rollins afterwards, but that's I think obviously because the show's only 2 hours, they went like straight through it. But then I found it good at the same time because there wasn't sort of messing about and teasing. It was just like, this is our pick, bang. Seth Rollins to SmackDown is a really good pick. But out of that two, so obviously Raw, we've got Drew McIntyre, Asuka, Bobby Lashley, Cedric Alexander, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin. And SmackDown, we've got Roman Reigns and Rollins. Who got the better picks out of round one, Chris?
Do you know what? That's a very good question, because I think Raw got value, but you have Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins on the same show as we're starting to turn towards like the Mania running. Oh, that's good. I'm going to say SmackDown. What I was going to say very quickly was, I think actually it works quite nicely the way they did it, where they rattled it off, bang, 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 bang. Because if they were going to do it as like almost like a proper NFL draft kind of thing, where it's all a big surprise and there's lots of twists and turns, then you can have two personalities going back and forth. But actually, especially early on, and like I said, in the two-hour show, the opening picks are fairly kind of obvious. Like, it's always going to be Roman. It's always going to be Drew. Which way around they went, we didn't know. It was always going to be that. And then you knew you're going to have Seth early on. You were going to have Asuka early on. So I think actually just rattling through and getting onto it and getting into some big, essentially blow-off matches later on in the day as well. Yeah, I agree. I think it's the best way to go through.
Then we move on to the first match of the night. And this is a segment we like to call the must-see match of the night, and it is must-see Big E versus Sheamus in a Fall Count Anywhere match. And as Chris loves all the time, this is two big lads going up against each other. What is it? Do you describe it as normal, Chris?
Two meaty men bumping meat. This is exactly what it needs to be. It was just good old-fashioned war of attrition, kicking stuff in out of each other. I really enjoyed it. There's weapons from the start. So it's a Falls Count Anywhere match. Weapons from the start. They do what is quite a nice change, actually, because quite often when you get Falls Count Anywhere matches, realistically, it's Falls Count Anywhere, but we're going to stay around the ring. We might go up the ramp. We'll come back down. Maybe it's a pin through the announce table kind of thing. But they went all through the back. There were some horrendous spots where Big E just lit up Sheamus with a kendo stick whilst his legs were tied together. They went into the back. Sheamus covered Big E with flour, with eggs, telling him not to tell him to be liberal, I think was the word, with the eggs and the pancakes.
That's not the ingredients for pancakes, though, is it? Flour, eggs, and a Big E.
I mean, it could work. I mean, have you ever tried to make pancakes without flour, eggs, and Big E?
No, that's a very good point, Chris.
So you don't know it doesn't work? This is
very true.
So don't.
Please continue.
Anyway, I'll get back to my review before I so rudely interrupted. We get into the car park. We see a white noise through, well, not through, but onto the windshield of a car, which looks horrendous. Sheamus then went to crush Big E's arm in the boot of a car. Big E gets the leg up. Sheamus goes for the bro kick, kicks the boot of the car literally off its hinges. They go back and forth. The ending is Big E hitting a big ending off of the roof of a car, through a table, onto the concrete for the three. It was a proper war of attrition. Both members put up pictures of their backs and their bodies after the match, and neither of them are going to have a good night's sleep tonight, I don't think. But afterwards, more excitingly, we see the returning Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, The New Day is back together on SmackDown. I love this match. Crush, what did you think?
Again, this match was very, very good. And our must-see match tonight, if you've only got 10, 15 minutes, go and watch this match on wherever you watch it, whether it's in the USA. I don't know what your catch-up is there. But if you're over here on the UK, the BT Sport app, go and watch this match because it is simply incredible. And I'm, in fact, delighted to see Xavier Woods back. He was injured last year on the 21st of October with an Achilles injury. This is his first appearance back since then. So it's almost up to a year. Like, we spoke about Ember Moon being in rehab 14 months. But a year with an Achilles injury when you're pretty much top of the mountain in a tag team, it must have been so tough to take. So it's very, very good to see him back.
If you, we said we were going to be quick today, and we've already shot that in the foot. But by the by, if you haven't listened to the New Day podcast, especially from about a year ago, which I think was more or less when it launched, I think this was a project by Xavier Woods to give himself something to do whilst he was rehabbing, and obviously up, down, down, all that kind of stuff. Check out all his content because he's very, very good. And I'm genuinely ecstatic to see him back in the ring because he is so good. But also, I'm ecstatic to see what he did whilst he was rehabbing his injury, because his level of content and the amount of commitment that he put into it was really, really good. Deserves all your time. Go watch it. But we'll move on because we are already going slow. And we see Jey Uso standing in the middle of the ring with a microphone, delivering a promo where he wants to know his stipulation for his Hell in a Cell match. This was really, really nicely done. Crush, I'll let you take over, because actually I think this is more about the nuances than it was about what was said in itself.
So it comes out and Jay's asking for stipulation and he's like, come on, big dog, or whatever words he used. There's just silence, like no music, no nothing. And then you get Paul Heyman interrupting and he just goes, stop embarrassing yourself. Stop dictating time and the appearance of the, I think he said, the reigning defending is Brock Lesnar spiel, Universal Champion Roman Reigns. Then we get a video package showing Roman Reigns' dominance is in ring return and you think, that's it. Nothing's going to happen. Then Roman's backstage looking like he belongs in The Godfather because he looks simply incredible. And the line I've picked up on saying is, believe nothing you hear, half of what you see, but what you just saw, you can believe that, which shows the Reigns going to town on everyone he's come across since he came back and was this new version of Roman Reigns. And he was saying that he should have acknowledged him as your tribal chief, and now that he hasn't, there's going to be a Hell in a Cell match on the 25th of October, but it's going to be an I Quit match inside Hell in a Cell. And after Jey Uso says he quits, there will be consequences. Much intrigue.
Yeah, this was really, really good. I really enjoy quiet Roman. Like, he's, like I said, it's very Godfather-ish. Didn't raise his voice at any point. There was nothing of that kind of over-the-topness to it. We got used to a lot with Roman Reigns, where we'd hear the word bitch every fifth promo, and that was kind of it. It didn't need that. It was just very quiet, very calm, very intimidating. This is really, really good. I'm intrigued by an I Quit match is the right decision for this match, given the ending of the last match the two had together. Putting in Hell in a Cell, my only fear with that is it putting a hat on a hat, if that makes sense. Like, we already have the I Quit match. That's the story we needed. We didn't need the Cell on top of it. However, the last time we saw the Usos, or we saw an Uso in a Hell in a Cell match, was against the New Day, and it was probably definitely match of the night, maybe match of the year. So I'm not gonna. What do I know? Let's see how this goes. Like, that's my only concern, is it might be a bit too much on top of what it needs. But the I Quit match, especially, is the right decision. Let's go with that. And we move quickly on to round two of the draft. Stephanie McMahon announces that the returning New Day will take on Cesaro and Nakamura for the tag team titles later on this evening. First pick of round two, Raw takes AJ Styles away from Friday Night SmackDown onto Raw. SmackDown replies with a smart decision, keeping Sasha Banks on the blue brand. Now, this was a surprise because a lot of people, including friend of the show, Alex McCarthy of Sport of TalkSport, had speculated that we may see Sasha Banks going across to Raw. Obviously, we don't know where Bayley will turn out yet. That will be on Monday night, I believe. She's in the Monday night pool, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Raw bolstering their women's division by bringing in Naomi and away from the blue brand. This was a surprise pick for me. This was the first pick for me that felt like it came too early, if that makes sense. Now, I have a lot of sympathy for doing the drafts in this and about round orderings and stuff like that, because essentially, like, for example, you couldn't do some announcements because you need them to come off the back of matches for that kind of surprise and stuff like that. So I kind of understand. I have a lot of sympathy with round placements. However, Naomi comes out, then SmackDown replies with Bianca Belair, which they called the sleeper pick, which I agree with, which I think is very, very good. Then Raw finishes off the round with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler going to Raw. For me, the only difference I'd have made here was swapping the Nia Jax, Shayna, and Naomi picks round, because in kayfabe, you want champions on your brand realistically rather than you just want, like, very good talent. I think if you'd done it that way round, that kind of keeps the tag team champions as strong, like, yep, we want them, let's get them in. SmackDown can then reply going, well, we're going to go with what we think is the biggest potential pick here. Like, we know we're getting good value. If Bianca Belair is as good as we all believe she is, that's a big pick. And then Raw can answer back with Naomi. That would have made more sense for me, but I'm being very, very nitpicky there. But again, every pick here felt like it made sense. There was no real reaches here, if that makes sense. Crush, what did you think?
So obviously they ran the video package about AJ, and I thought it was very good to sort of build up that heel AJ, because he's saying that he can't believe that the house that he built wouldn't draft him first pick. So Kay's going to make Raw the best show or something along those lines, he said. So I'm interested to see where that goes, because obviously AJ versus Drew, I don't think we've seen before.
I certainly can't remember it.
So I'd like to see that match, unless obviously Rude drops the title at Hell in a Cell. But then in terms of Sasha Banks staying on SmackDown, obviously Alex thought she might go over to Raw, which you can listen to on all good podcasting apps. So I'm not too sure what they'll do with Bayley on Monday, but I'm very intrigued, because you'd have thought if they were going to move her over, she would have dropped the belt or drops the belt sometime soon. Because obviously Raw's already got Asuka. So I think the way they'll go is Bayley will stay on SmackDown then. And then they just continue to build that feud. But obviously we can come on to that later, because there was a match between the two. Next up, we had John Morrison and The Miz against Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle. And this, interestingly, stems from social media. So I remember seeing, I think it was Thursday, because it's Saturday now, Thursday, Matt Riddle tweeted, "Bro, with the draft coming up, I'm not sure where I'm going to end up, but I'd love to team up with Jeff Hardy before I find out. I was a huge Hardy Boys fan growing up." And there's a picture of him and Jeff together, and Jeff signed it. "Matt, I'm so envious of that smile, obviously." So it comes from all that, and I believe commentary was saying that Miz and Morrison were taking the mick out of that. This is a short match, but there's a reason why it was a short match. We get a broetry in motion, not a poetry in motion. Hardy then assists Riddle to then jump to the outside to take out Morrison and Miz. There's a twist of fate by Jeff Hardy, and then Miz chucks him out of the ring. But then we get Matt Riddle into a running knee and then a bro Derek to pick up the victory. This is a short match, but then this is why. Lars Sullivan is back. He's been out for a long time. There was obviously talk about him getting a huge push before he took his break. But Lars Sullivan is back, and he cleans house, and he is now eligible for the draft on Monday. So we'll see where that's going to go, but I think he'll probably follow maybe Braun Strowman wherever he goes. That's my early pick. Anyway, we get on to round three of the draft, because that is what we're here for, the draft. And Raw goes with Ricochet. SmackDown, Jey Uso. Raw retains Mandy Rose. Then we get a little brand switch, a brand switcheroonie for SmackDown, as Dominic and Rey Mysterio move over to follow now the Friday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, as that feud will likely continue. Interestingly, and this is ruining the rest of the draft, Murphy wasn't picked. So Murphy, officially, according to WWE rules, is now a free agent and can sign with any brand that he wants. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But to have Dominic and Rey partnered up, to me, sort of makes sense, because obviously Dominic can still continue the storylines with Rey and obviously being that rather than have to stand on his own, being so young in his first proper year in WWE. Then we get the final pick from Raw. They just had a match. It's not Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle. It is Miz and John Morrison switching over to Raw. And he's on the show that he put Mandy Rose on to get away from Otis. Chris, what did you make of these picks?
So this is where, again, if we're going really picky, this is where kind of that kayfabe side of it starts to break down a little bit. Just in that, like, for example, would you draft Ricochet ahead of Big E, for example? Probably not, given their kind of recent win-loss records. But again, I have a lot of sympathy because I understand that you have to do things after matches and stuff like that. I'm glad that Ricochet was drafted because obviously he's had a tough time kind of gaining traction recently. Teaming up with Apollo Crews has helped and obviously working with the Hurt Business. But I'm glad that he wasn't just an undrafted free agent that was put back onto Raw, if that makes sense. Jey Uso on SmackDown, that makes all the sense in the world. It's in the biggest feud probably of the year so far, really. Like, the most intrigue within it. He's got his big Hell in a Cell, I Quit match coming up. Raw keeping Mandy Rose. The story for me for Raw from this draft is they really, really built up their women's division. That seemed to be like the story focus of it was, this is going to be, we're going to have the best women's wrestling we can have. Obviously, they missed out on Sasha Banks. But after that, they got the likes of Naomi, they got Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, obviously they got Asuka. Like, that is a strong women's division.
It sort of makes sense, though, because they have the tag team titles and the Raw Women's Champions. So there's a lot of stuff for Raw to do. Yeah. Plus, it's a longer show, so they can give them the time that they deserve as well.
100%. Dominic and Rey going to SmackDown. It makes a good angle within the feud. I don't know if I'm over the feud now because it's gone on for a long old time. I would hope that then Buddy Murphy will also go to SmackDown because he seems quite an integral part of the feud. If he doesn't, if he stays on Raw, I just really want him to get the push he deserves because he's dead, dead good. He is dead good. He's WWE's best kept secret, even if he says it himself. Like, give him more time. He deserves it. And then Miz and Morrison, who originally, if I remember rightly, in the releases were on Monday's pool. However, when I looked onto the WWE website this morning, they were into Friday's pool. So I'm assuming it was like a late decision that actually we're going to move them back over to this pool. Again, getting Miz and Morrison onto Raw, I like it. I think Miz elevates wherever he goes. He's one of those guys, you can put him into anything and he'll make it better. Yeah, I think these are all good picks. They all make sense. I like all of them. We then get into Sasha Banks versus Bayley in a title match, which you could argue should be the main event, should be the highlight of the show. However, to keep this feud going, it is an intentional disqualification by Bayley to retain her title. It does what it needed to do. If they're both going to be on SmackDown moving forwards, obviously they didn't want a real match at this point. I imagine they'll keep funking finishes until we get to Hell in a Cell. Again, I get why you do it. It's frustrating to see on television on what's essentially like, they're calling Monday the was it the season premiere? Is that what they were describing it as moving forwards?
No, next Friday is the season premiere of SmackDown on Fox.
Yeah, you are right. Next Friday is the season premiere. So essentially, this is the season finale of SmackDown on Fox. So having the dirty finish and all that kind of stuff kind of doesn't fit with the rest of the show, but I understand why they did it. Crush, what did you think?
Yeah, I should say it does the job. I know Alex mentioned it on the main podcast saying that the trilogy he thought it would be is then they have this match on Friday, then they have the match at Hell in a Cell, which we can get onto later in this podcast, and then the third one is the split up, and then the Sasha wins the Rumble, and then she goes and challenge Bayley at WrestleMania. So obviously they're not going to probably go down that path now, but it's interesting to see how they keep each other separated before pulling the trigger at either Rumble or Mania. Probably Mania, because if they're going to look at getting fans back in, they'll get a bigger reaction at Mania.
So, I hope it's Mania. It deserves to be Mania. Yeah. It just deserves to be Mania.
So definitely intrigued to see where that'll go. And yeah, it's I think it was right the way they did it, because obviously it plays into the storyline of Bayley attacking Sasha with a chair, put her on the shelf and all that. She brought the chair down to the ring in her entrance, for God's sake. So it plays very much into the hands of the storyline. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go. We have a backstage segment, and this is like literally, I think it's like 10 seconds, if that. KO's like strapping up his wrists. Alexa Bliss walks up to him and goes, "Let him in." Cut. Very good. And it gets us to the main event later, as obviously we've had that whole storyline, and it's The Fiend's first ever match on SmackDown. But before that, we have the tag team title match that was announced earlier night, New Day against Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. So it's Woods and Kofi in action. There's no Big E ringside because he's had that ridiculously tough match against Sheamus on the opening of the night. Obviously, this is Woods' first appearance since that live event back. So commentary was talking about ring rust, but he definitely didn't show any ring rust. There was a solid start from him. The up, down, down. Got a two count after being broken up by Nakamura. Then Woods got a DDT. Like, it's sort of... How do you call it, Chris? Because you're the wrestling expert. You're a wrestler. If you're not... Don't know, Chris.
There's a slingshot DDT there we go, but slingshot. Through the ropes rather than going over the top.
So I couldn't remember how to describe it. Yeah, a slingshot DDT, like Johnny Gargano does. He got a close two count. Then we get a Nakamura knee to the midsection on the top rope to Woods before Cesaro gets in and gets a few power moves. There's this incredible aerial attack, and I don't know why I'm so surprised, because it is Kofi Kingston, and he is one of the best high flyers ever. But he pops him up on the ropes, chests into the ropes, springs, twists, and then still managed to get a DDT on Cesaro, and it's an incredible move. So I think WWE might have tweeted it, so go check that out if you can. We then get Cesaro's swing, which is obviously the way they normally finish matches, but Woods holds onto Nakamura's knee in the corner for Trouble in Paradise on Cesaro by Kofi Kingston. Kofi then hits another Trouble in Paradise on Nakamura before Woods gets up on the top rope with that diving elbow for New Day to become 7-time SmackDown Tag Team Champions. We then get Big E out to celebrate. He looks battered, he looks bruised, and then this is the heartbreaking moment of the night. Chris.
Yeah, I don't even want to say it with my mouth. So, Stephanie's back out to announce round 4 of the draft. Now, kayfabe, this all falls apart for me, but let's crack on. Raw announced the first pick of round 4 of the draft. They're going to select Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Now, you get a moment here, which is really well done by Xavier Woods, where he says, "You didn't say E's name. Say E's name. Say E's name." And he's always begging, he's always pleading Stephanie McMahon to say it. Stephanie then says that SmackDown have drafted Big E. Now, we see in the polls before this, and I know there's been some tinkering with the polls, but the draft polls clearly said that New Day, if you drafted New Day, you got all three. You got Kofi Kingston, you got Xavier Woods, and you got Big E. So, in storyline, Raw made the decision to go, we want Kofi Kingston and we want Xavier Woods, but we don't want Big E. And it wouldn't have cost them an extra draft pick to go, yeah, we'll have him as well. In the same way they did earlier on, with taking all four members of the Hurt Business. This fell apart a little bit. In the ring, Big E is almost in tears. It's stunned silence from Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods.
It's
Woods
a 2020 mood.
It's, you know what? Yes, it is. This draft pick was 2020 summed up to a T. It's 2020. My year is ruined and it did not have a high place to start from. But yeah, we'll see where it goes. I know, Crush, you had a bold prediction that they were going to draft them back together on Monday.
Yeah, so during the show, I tweeted that when they announced the match, I tweeted that they're going to win the tag team titles. They'll then get drafted in round 3 and then Street Profits will go over on Monday. But obviously, I got the round wrong because he went in round 4. So I've been speaking to Chris this morning and I've sort of altered that. And I think that, obviously, we've seen it, I can't remember when, but it was in the 2000s at some point, where Cena was drafted to one brand and then drafted to the other brand. So I think there's going to be some sort of workaround and maybe a trade here or there where we try and get Big E back on Raw, because I think there's got to be something more. They couldn't just pull the trigger on the New Day after so long and break them up like that. There's got to be another bit to this storyline. But yeah, that's my opinion. What are you saying,
Chris? It felt very Dudleys to me. You remember, was it the first draft where they split the Dudleys up? And it was like, no one knew why. They just did it, I think, we've created a moment on the draft rather than there is a storyline to this. Now, see, Big E is getting his singles push, but we saw with Kofi last year, you don't need to split up the New Day for them to have a very good singles push. In fact, you would argue that Big E and Xavier Woods being there to support Kofi Kingston made that singles push better and actually amplified what it could have been. But like I said, we'll see. We pray for a trade. If not, 2020 is ruined and it's been a bad year already. After that, we had Dana Brooke drafted to Raw, which keeps alive the tag team of Dana and Mandy Rose. So we'll see where that goes. SmackDown ruining my bold prediction by drafting back Mr. Money in the Bank, Otis, just Otis again. Tag teams had a bit of a bad day yesterday. So Tucky is officially a free agent. They could have drafted both. They decided not to. They just drafted Otis. So Mr. Money in the Bank stays on SmackDown, does not fill with confidence for his cash-in if he's on the same brand as the big dog Roman Reigns, but we'll see how that goes. And then to finish off the draft, on round four, Angel Garza is on SmackDown. I like Angel Garza. I think he's got a big, big future. I really enjoy what they're doing. I hope they keep Andrade on Raw as well, because I think there is a feud brooding there, which I would be quite happy to see, which does leave us some free agents coming out of the draft. Crush, who is now officially a free agent?
So after night one, there is Lucha House Party, Shorty G, Mickey James, who I believe Inside the Ropes said that she's got a broken nose, so that sort of explains why she was missed out. Tucker, because they didn't draft Heavy Machinery as a pair. Buddy Murphy, Humberto Carrillo, and Drew Gulak. And Elias was in this list, but he is now in the pool for Monday night, but obviously he is injured as well. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got 9 superstars that are free agents, and off WWE's rules, these can now sign with any brand of their choosing. Chris, out of this lot, who would you like to see go to NXT?
But I was just thinking then, and my immediate reaction, so there's two. There's Buddy Murphy and there's Humberto Carrillo, who I could see going to NXT. I want to see Buddy Murphy stay on the main roster, in very inverted commas, because I think he can do a lot more and he can still add a lot of value to the Seth Rollins-Rey Mysterio rivalry. So Humberto Carrillo going to NXT and getting involved once again in the Cruiserweight division is something I'd be very excited for. He's incredibly talented in the ring. He works as a perfect Cruiserweight. That makes sense for me. That's who I'd like to see make the move across to NXT.
In terms of me, I want to see Shorty G go back to Chad Gable and go down to NXT.
Oh, God, yes. I think we all just agree on that. I don't care where Shorty G goes, as long as he has the name Chad Gable. Do what he wants.
He's a very talented athlete, so I'd like to see him sort of do what Breezango have done, who conveniently are this week's podcast guests, which you can check out the interview on all good podcasting apps, and sort of go back down, win a title, and then eventually work yourself back up to the main roster that way. So that is who I'd like to see out of all that. We then get a backstage segment, and it's Miz is now delaying Otis' trial. Obviously, he's been rehearsing for it. He was practicing some Latin words with Tucker, and then he was delivered piece of paper in an envelope, and he's delaying the trial. Then we get another backstage segment. This time it's Sasha Banks, and she challenges Bayley to a match inside Hell in a Cell. This is going to be carnage, and I am very looking forward to it. And yeah, I'd like to think that she dropped the belt here, Chris. What about you?
Yeah, I'm very easy either way. I think Sasha wins. I think Bayley then wins the Rumble. That would be my guess, because I think that leads nicely. I think we've all kind of built ourselves up for Sasha winning the Rumble and then moving forward with this. I think actually flipping that would be quite a cool little thing, especially if it's not going to be the main event Rumble, if that makes sense. If the women's Rumble is going to be before the men's Rumble, you could have Bayley win it as a heel and then not ruin the feel-good moment at the end of the show by having a heel win the last Rumble of the match. You could have a face win the men's Rumble and you still get that big pop, happy ending moment for the show. I agree. This is, again, going back to my concern with the Jey Uso Roman Reigns one, Sasha versus Bayley makes sense to be Hell in a Cell. It needs that. It needs this. We're caging these two people who hate each other to go to war. Whereas, as we've said previously, I think Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso is going to overshadow it regardless. So putting in a cell as well just cast a bigger shadow over what deserves to be a main event match between Sasha Banks and Bayley. But again, what do I know? Let's see where we go. And then we get to the main event for the night, which is a very, very rare TV performance from The Fiend taking on Kevin Owens. This was exactly what I expected. It was very, very good. I always struggle with The Fiend a little bit because obviously a lot of his character is based around no selling. But what I'm excited for
just
with
like
that,
one of your matches then.
Hey, I sell beautifully. I lie down out of the ring and I take 5 minutes whilst Ryan does all the work, and then I come back, hit the big spot, and take the applause. I know exactly what I'm doing. I oversell. But what I was going to say was the main issue with The Fiend is his character is built around no selling. And obviously he sells more and more as we get towards the end of the match. But for example, I'm jumping ahead here. Apologies if you wanted a full round-by-round breakdown for this match. But towards the end of the match, The Fiend has the Mandible Claw in. Kevin Owens hits a stunner. The Fiend no-sells it and finishes off the Mandible Claw. So for me, that kind of... It's hard not to bury your opponents when you're no-selling everything. However, if we... And I know...
Place the character, though.
And, well, let me get into this. We all love to bury WWE for, like, a lack of long-term storylines. If you could do this for 12 months of The Fiend no-selling things and being big, then when he goes up against, let's say, Drew McIntyre, for example, and suddenly they have this big war of attrition where the Claymore is legitimately hurting The Fiend and he's having to sell it, that tells a bigger story than The Fiend selling on a Friday night for Kevin Owens. So I can make my peace with it, provided there is a payoff to it at the end where they put over Drew McIntyre or Roman Reigns or Braun Strowman or Lars Sullivan or whoever the person who beats the big boss of The Fiend is. I'm fine with it. Like I said, it just takes away from the matches now, but it might add a lot more later on.
But if you compare it back to the Saudi Arabia show where Goldberg beat him with what was really a botched suplex, he's come on so much. Obviously, he was built up until then, and then we get this quick loss. Then now, like, he's literally undefeatable. Like,
yep.
You don't stop him. So this is playing into the storyline. And something that Michael Cole mentioned before the match was that whoever came into contact with him is never the same again. So it'd be interesting to see if, like, we get this sort of maybe like new possessed Kevin Owens. That'd be quite interesting.
I want to go the other way. I want old Kevin Owens. Yeah. I want Kevin Owens of NXT when Sami Zayn finally won the title. That's the Kevin Owens I love. I love the... It's obviously, this is going back to his indie days, but I love the kill Owens, Kevin Owens. That for me is best Kevin Owens. Obviously, because he is so talented and he's so good on the mic, it's very easy for him to come face. And we've seen it several times, even when he was with Chris Jericho as a tag team. As a tag team, they were starting to come face. And realistically, to keep him heel, they had to have him turn on Chris Jericho because he is so entertaining. For him to stay heel, he has to betray people. He has to do horrible things because the personality is so lovable. Yeah, like I said, this did exactly what he meant to do. It was a very good match. It's probably one of the better Fiend matches in quite a while. And that is not me trying to bury his other work. But quite often with a Fiend, the build is better than the matches because it's hard to do the matches with his character not selling. For me, this was probably the best Fiend match as a, you take this 15 minutes out of context, it's a very good match that we've seen in a while. We saw some good big spots. We saw a plethora of cannonballs from Kevin Owens. Again, each one sold more and more. Kevin Owens hit a number of super kicks. I think the first one, if I remember rightly, was a complete no-sell. Hits another super kick. We saw Kevin Owens was hit with a uranage onto the table, which looked minging, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, that did not look like something that's going to be fun to feel tomorrow. Into a Sister Abigail onto the table. Go into the ring. We get the Mandible Claw, as we said. Kevin Owens hits a Desperation Stunner. Does nothing. Mandible Claw on. And Mandible Claw Uranagi, which was cool. I enjoyed that. I like that if we're going to use that as a finish. Into the Mandible Claw for the 3 count for the win. It was a very good match. Check it out. Match 1 is still my one to watch, as I agree with Crush. Big E, Sheamus is the one to watch. If you want 2 to watch, this is the number 2 one. After the match, Fiend is in the ring. Lights go out. When they come back on, Bliss and the Fiend are on the entrance ramp staring at each other. They look back to Kevin Owens. Again, as you said, do we get this personality shift from Kevin Owens now? They look back to each other. That's the end of the show. This was a very, very entertaining show. Yes, it had the worst moment of 2020 in it when they broke up the New Day. We will all join hands, socially distanced, to form a prayer ring to bring back New Day. I don't like seeing Big E cry. He's too big. He's too meaty to see tears in his eyes. I don't need that in my life. I don't need 2020 doing this to me. But other than that, this was actually a very, very good show. I really enjoyed it. It's a good 2 hours of wrestling. Crush, anything else to add?
Obviously, with the season premiere on Fox next week of SmackDown, we have 2 matches announced for it already. So this was announced before Kevin Owens came to the ring, but after The Fiend came in. And it's Reigns versus Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship next Friday. But also, The New Day against Sheamus, Cesaro, and Shinsuke Nakamura in The New Day's farewell match.
Just don't need it. I don't need to hear those words. Get out of it, Crush. Braun versus Reigns, that would be good fun. I really hope we get an actual match, and it's not. Okay, prediction. Oh, Braun wins via disqualification when Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso attack Roman Reigns.
Nice.
That is my, because Jey Uso, like, if Braun wins this, Jey Uso doesn't get his title match, or he doesn't get Roman Reigns in a match. Yep. That's what he wants. So that makes sense to me. Braun Strowman looks set to win. Out comes the Usos, and it just pulls Reigns back a bit for the I Quit match, which makes you think, oh, maybe. So, yeah, no, I like that. But no, this is a very, very good show. I'm excited for next Friday. Monday, the draft. Please, please give me New Day back. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, as you say, Monday, there will be the second part of the draft. There's a hell of a lot of superstars up. I'm not going to name them all, but we've got the likes of Bayley in there. We've got Daniel Bryan's in there, interestingly. Alexa Bliss, Charlotte's back in. R-Truth, our close personal friend, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Retribution, a lot of superstars, so a lot of twists, a lot of changes will be expected on Monday, and we will be reviewing that on Tuesday morning at from 9 o'clock in the morning, so probably hitting podcast apps around 12 p.m. on Tuesday, so don't forget to check that out. Thanks for tuning in. That's all we got time for today. I know it's been an extra long one, but there's been a lot to cover, and obviously the draft has a lot of talking points. Follow us on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod, and check us out on YouTube, Sports Wrestling, for all our interviews and mini clips from the podcast. Make sure to check out all our reviews from this week as well as the main podcast, which came out on Thursday with not one, not two, but three very special guests. The NXT Tag Team Champions, Breezango, and TalkSport's very own Alex McCarthy. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go home.